Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. My name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We start today in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 through 5. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now here it's speaking against laboring, working to be rich. The purpose of your work should not just be getting rich. It means that you should be working, but the purpose is not to get rich. Cease, stop from thine own wisdom, which means it is our own wisdom that we work to get rich. Does that make sense? And then up here in verse 5, and somehow my studio is just not connecting, so we'll have to post the opposite. We'll have to post the recording. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? You're going to set your eyes on something that doesn't exist. If you don't have the riches yet, then they don't exist. Why would you set your eyes on something that doesn't exist? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, this is speaking to the fact that everyone, or that whenever you have a lot of money, and I've never had a lot of money, God has always provided for me, but I've never had a lot of money. Whenever you have a lot of money, I would imagine, the opportunity finds you. You have the ability to spend it. I'm going to spend money here. I'm going to spend money there. Oh, that looks like a good investment. Let's do this. Or you might make a mistake and realize, I got enough money. It's not that really big of a deal. These are examples of money sprouting wings and flying away. Now, I bring that up because the Bible is full of wisdom, especially Proverbs. And we do a proverb each day. Today's the 23rd, so we're in Proverbs 23rd. We do this so that people have wisdom and so that we can connect dots in ways that we can have observable phenomena. We can have knowledge of an issue, but we want to connect it to working righteousness for the Lord. Does that make sense? And so if that's the case, today what I want to speak about is the need for wisdom. This is Carrie Lake, and just this morning, I should say last night, the Supreme Court ruled that her appeal, her elections case, was going to be thrown out. Now, this is important because there were a lot of people that were pinning their hopes on Carrie Lake winning in this appeal. And she did not win in this appeal. The Supreme Court, as we have here, as she tweeted about this morning, she says, the Supreme Court of the United States did not believe that the issue of election integrity was worth the court's time during another crucial presidential race. And then she cites Kyle Becker, in which he says that the Supreme Court basically threw out her appeal. Now, I got a couple different things to say about this, and that's the purpose of this broadcast today. We're going to be speaking about wisdom. The need for wisdom. And I'm going to be trying to approach it from a functional perspective that gives a visual demonstration of how to respond to something that's really, 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 really bad. And we're going to do that right after this, where the best way that you can bless me and my family, this ministry herein, is to shop at patriotswitch.com/Jaron. I've spoken to a few people over the last couple days. Get your money out of the godless commie woke corporate system and bring it over to American Manufacturing. American Manufacturing Company, this is direct product purchase off the internet delivered right to your home, just like you probably already do. The difference is your dollars are probably now going towards Walmart, Kmart, Target, Costco, Amazon, all those things. Just switch them over to American Manufacturing. Conservative beliefs, Patriot, it's a private membership association, so these woke godless commies don't have the ability to buy a seat at the corporate table because it's a private membership association. When you sign up, myself or someone with me will call you. We'll say, here's what's going on. Here's all the details. No harm, no foul if you don't want to join. If you do it and you're like, that's not for me, quit anytime. No hassles, no strings attached. All it is taking the money that you're already shopping, you're already spending with, and switching over to American Manufacturing. And whenever you shop, Jaron gets a benefit, and that's a blessing to me. Thank you very much. I'd like to speak more about this idea of needing for wisdom. But I think that whenever most Americans hear this, they either A, have it in their head, they're programming, okay, wisdom, yes, be wisdom. And everyone wants wisdom. But there's also this suspicion in the back of their head, they're like, okay, how do you think that you're wise? What makes you qualified to tell me that I need wisdom? Doesn't that mean that I don't have wisdom and that you do? Doesn't that mean that I need to learn from you? Not necessarily. The Bible is God's word, and so we read it to see what he says. Today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you a 10-year-old girl who was attacked by an alligator. The alligator chomped on her leg, and she survived because she used wisdom. I want to play for you this video. Now, this video is going to detail how this girl used wisdom. And I want you just to take it in because I haven't said anything about this except for the alligator chomped on her leg. She had wisdom. She applied the wisdom and she got out. And then the alligator got killed. Here's the video. We will comment later. This is to set up what we're going to be talking about today. Watch this.
Out of that fearless and brave 10-year-old who managed to free herself from the jaws of an alligator, this morning she's speaking out about the terrifying incident and the quick thinking that saved her life. ABC's Lindsay Janice has the story.
Female conscious of breathing attacked by an alligator.
This morning, 10-year-old Juliana Osa is talking about how she fought off this nearly 9-foot-long alligator.
I looked in the water and there was a mean 9-foot gator in the water biting my leg.
She's calm and collected as she tells Inside Edition how she furiously tried to free herself from its powerful jaws.
The alligator grabbed my leg. I tried hitting it to let it release me, but it didn't work.
Incredibly, in those terrifying moments, she says she remembered exactly what she'd learned at a Florida adventure park.
I thought of what they taught me at Gatorland. So I put my 2 fingers up its nostrils. It couldn't breathe, so I had to breathe from its mouth. It opened its mouth, and it let my leg out.
Appears to be a couple of puncture wounds on her leg, but her leg is still intact.
Osa apparently outsmarting the gator who attacked her Saturday afternoon as she swam in less than 2 feet of water at this Orlando lake.
The alligator didn't do nothing because he was too busy biting my leg and holding on to the sand. He was too busy with that, so he didn't have any other attack moves to take out my fingers.
It's in the middle of our swimming area.
The gator caught by a trapper and put down. Now Osa is back home after being treated for bite wounds to her leg, requiring just 10 stitches.
Juliana clearly not suffering from any lack of courage or confidence. Mm-hmm. I love when she says that gator had no other attack moves.
But what a calm. Wow, and what she learned at Gatorland, she was able to transfer it over in the real life situation. That was amazing.
All right. Thanks so much.
There is so much wisdom here. At the very end, Michael Strahan, Hall of Fame defensive end for the New York Giants, multiple Super Bowl champion, now turned liberal news host. He says, look, she was able to transfer her knowledge in a real-world situation. That is wisdom. That's wisdom right there. Taking knowledge, what you know, and applying it is wisdom. The woman anchor, she was like, I really like how she just had the courage to just do it. So think about this. I don't know, you know, besides Michael Strahan, I don't really know any of them. I don't know Michael Strahan. I don't know their faith. I don't know the worldview, but they're probably politically liberal. They're probably not Bible-believing Christians. I'll just put it that way. These people are probably not Bible-believing Christians, and yet they had the ability to observe, one, that girl applied knowledge to real life. That's first. Second, the anchor, the woman wearing green, she was saying that, oh, she had the courage and she just did it. Yes. She had the courage to take what she knew and apply it to real life. I'm trying to be very slow and deliberate. This girl was taught something at a amusement park, a petting zoo, and the people taught her, if you're ever in a situation where you're getting bit by an alligator, take your fingers and shove them up its nose. Now think about this wisdom.
The girl admitted she hit the alligator. So the girl first used her gut instinct. Her natural instinct is to fight off the alligator. She was not using wisdom. The alligator was prepared for that fight. Just chomping down. The alligator was prepared for that fight. What did the girl then do? She stopped and she was calm and she thought, what do I know that I can apply? Boom, fingers up its nose. And the 10-year-old girl even had the clarity of thought to say the alligator was so busy doing what the alligator was doing that the alligator couldn't defeat my two fingers. So with two fingers up the nostril of an alligator, the alligator could not breathe, let go of its prey, and she was free. Now think about this. Predators are predators because they attack. They are going after things that they think that they can defeat. Predators are not used to people going at them. And predators are not used to having people shove their fingers up their nose to where they can't breathe. Breathing is a vital necessity to a predator. It also might trigger a response that he's never felt before. So if you are using wisdom, you are going to be bypassing what the predator is ready to respond against. In this case, if an alligator bites a 10-year-old's leg, the alligator's probably used to or expecting getting punched in the face. Maybe. Maybe not. But the alligator is definitely not used to dexterous, you know, fingers with dexterity going up its nose and touching all that. It's not used to that. Folks, this is wisdom, taking what you know and applying it in real life in a way that the world would probably not think about. The world would probably think, oh shoot, there's a 10-year-old girl, let's go bang that alligator on the head. I now want to transfer into this Carrie Lake situation. This Carrie Lake situation where the Supreme Court dismissed her elections case. Now, the world right now, conservative media, is already trying to bash the alligator in the face. They are already saying, look at this. She is saying the Supreme Court of the United States did not believe that the issue of election integrity was worth the court's time during another crucial presidential race. That is politics. That is beating the alligator in the head. That is beating the alligator in the head. What she is not doing is she is not using wisdom. And I want to demonstrate this. I want to demonstrate this. I'm going to do a couple different things. I'm going to demonstrate the fact that there is information that Carrie Lake got from my teacher, Dave Jose, to get standing initially in this court case that has now been rejected at the Supreme Court. And when Dave went to go help Carrie, this is a screenshot. This is Carrie Lake, November 25th, 2022. She writes, I think Josh added you to a group, but trying to make a call with all three of us. But you keep hopping off. Missed call while using focus. So she's trying to call him. Incoming voice call. Then Dave attaches Carrie Lake case PDF. He says, here it is. Then he gives a Twitter link and he explains what it is. Carrie Lake, one of the people, sui juris, it says sun juris, it says it's a sui juris, in this court of record. That video from earlier was for you to see the case they are about to hear, not the crazy Q stuff. Please toss out crazy Q stuff because there's a bunch of craziness going on. Dave continues. Says, remember that no person can do anything that doesn't follow the law. The power of government to act is based on what people write. You know, he says, sorry, right. Make your arguments from the point of dealing with them not following form of law. That's the wisdom. See, these people are saying there's a fraud in the election case. There's, you know, the ballot wasn't counted. The machines are accessible on the internet. There was, fraud by the poll workers, and there's people just massively shoving in ballots. Conservative media and the regular response is to beat the alligator. Beating the alligator is the election machines are connected to the internet. There are mules trafficking ballots. There is paid actors working subterfuge at the election tally places. There's all sorts of coordination between people that are conspiring. I mean, the Arizona Secretary of State right? The lady that was responsible for running the 2022 elections, excuse me, the 2020 presidential election and the 2022 governor election, is now the governor of Arizona. So Katie Hobbs was responsible for running the Arizona election, and I believe that she did it poorly. I believe that she maladministrated the election. But see, Carrie Lake and her attorneys wanted to beat the alligator. They wanted to say fraud, which is a crime. They did not want to argue form of law, which is specified in the constitutions. They did not want to do that. Dave here shows her, make your arguments about from the point of dealing with them not following form of law. Says, here's the maxims. This will make you better than any attorney. I'll give you sections to read after 5 and 6. I'm proud of you, dear fighter. I will pray and God bless you abundantly. If you want to read it real quick, it will liberate you. No attorney learns this in law school. And then he says, and then over a year later, this is February 23, 2024, one of Carrie Lake's friends, hey, to Dave Jose, PMA, says, I wonder if you can help me. Carrie Lake was here for a fundraiser, and she and I were talking about the federal courts denying both of us standing. She told me you did a document, affidavit, showing and proving she had standing. So this is an email from someone who met Carrie Lake at a fundraiser, and Carrie Lake, after she got standing, told this woman that Dave Jose got her standing. Now, I point this out because I learn from Dave. He's a brother in the Lord. He's a friend of mine. And I learn the fundamental law from him. I advocate that you learn the fundamental law from him. But the issue here is wisdom. This is not a Dave Jose issue. I love Dave. He's a good friend. He's a brother in the Lord. But this issue is wisdom, insofar as whenever the alligator has chomped on the leg, most people want to bash the alligator in the face. Most people are going to go hire attorneys to then come in and argue the same dumb stuff that everybody else and all the other law schools and all the other attorneys are arguing. Instead, you just argue what the law says. You just argue maladministration, and I want to show it to you. Before we get to maladministration, I want to show you what the Constitution says. This is the Texas Constitution. This is Texas Constitution, Article 1, Section 2. All political power is inherent in the people. Had you ever read that before? Had you ever read that all political power is inherent in the people? You ever read that before? And all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit. The faith of the people of Texas stands pledged to the preservation of a republican form of government, and subject to this limitation only, they have at all times the inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think expedient. How about New Hampshire? Because that's just Texas. Let's go to the East Coast. One of the original 13 colonies. This is Part 1, Article 10. Government, being instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the whole community, and not for the private interest or emolument of any man, family, or class of men. There's your rejection of aristocrats. There's your rejection of nobility. Therefore, whenever the ends of government are perverted, and public liberty manifestly endangered, and all other means of redress are ineffectual, the people may, and of right ought, to reform the old or establish a new government. The doctrine of non-resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is absurd, slavish, and destructive of the good and happiness of mankind. But this is Arizona. Let's go to Arizona. Let's see if Arizona's constitution has anything that we can look for. Let me jihad this. Go to Ballotpedia, state constitutions. Let's go to Arizona. We go down here to Arizona. We go to Section 2, Declaration of Rights. Article 2, I should say. Article 2, Section 1 says here, a frequent recurrence of the fundamental principles is essential to the security of individual rights and the perpetuity of free government. So you always have to be coming back to the fundamentals. You always have to remember the alligator has to breathe. If the alligator is chomping you, the alligator has to breathe. Do you see this? Do you see if the alligator is chomping you, the alligator also has to be breathing? The alligator cannot chomp you if the alligator is not breathing. Make sense? So government, if government is coming against you, government has to exist. Well, where does government exist from? The constitutions. The Constitution is the breath of life for government. It is the law. Let's go ahead down here to section 2. All political power is inherent in the people. Now, Carrie Lake was trying to get standing. Carrie Lake says that she doesn't think that the United States Supreme Court of the United States doesn't believe election integrity was worth its time. But Carrie Lake is not recognizing that all political power is inherent in the people. Carrie Lake was the one that said, hey, you know, how do I get standing? She went to Dave. How do I get standing, guys? How do I get standing? This is how you get standing. He gave it to you. He gave you the document. And government derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established to protect and maintain individual rights. This is the law in Arizona right now. The law in Arizona right now says that the people have all the political power. That fundamental, that a recurrence, a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles. That's the law. That's the Constitution. If the alligator is chomping your leg, you need to make sure that it is breathing. If the let's just slow it down here. Before the alligator chomps, the alligator is breathing. While the alligator chomps, the alligator is breathing. Before government existed, or excuse me, before government attacked you, the Constitution exists. While the government is attacking you, the Constitution exists. Does this make sense? Most people will hear this and say, okay, I understand that that's the Constitution, but no one cares. No one cares. What you do, and I want to take a quick aside if I can, what we do is we have leaders, we have patriots who say garbage like this.
And they made it easier for America's spy agencies to spy on ordinary Americans without suspicion and without warrants. Does anybody care about the Constitution anymore?
Judge, I don't think they do. I think we live in a post-constitutional society, sadly.
This is the input from your leaders? This is the input from the patriot thought leaders. A retired colonel, a retired judge. The retired judge is like, doesn't anyone think about the constitutions? And the retired colonel from the military is saying, yeah, we live in a post-constitutional society. Really? Is this our leadership? The leadership who doesn't even read the text of the Constitution. Folks, let me try to explain something. The alligator has to breathe. The more people who understood that alligators can be disarmed by putting their fingers up its nostril, don't you think most people, though still not wanting to be bit by the alligator, don't you think most people, whenever they see alligators, won't prep their fingers? Don't you think most people would be like, oh shoot, it's an alligator. Whoop! Like, I'm good. There's a bunch of alligators up in here. I'm going to be sticking my fingers up their nostrils. Whenever you understand how the thing lives, you master that so that you can control it. When you understand that the government is created by the constitutions, master the constitutions and then use them. And this is the part that people don't believe. They don't believe that quoting the constitutions to people in government does anything. And the disconnect is the fact that they don't know what the constitutions say. So they conflate in their brain, instead of quoting the constitutions, they just say the Constitution, which is not the same thing. The Constitution guarantees your rights, called constitutional rights. And some of them are inherent. Life, liberty, property, due process of law, and such. These inherent rights come from God. They don't even come from government. None of your rights come from government, except for civil rights. So when people get in trouble with the government, they don't actually tell the government what the law says. They just say, hey, law. Hey, government, you're violating my privacy because no one has sworn under oath or affirmation that I've harmed them. Therefore, every warrant that you're issuing is not judicial, based on this constitutional provision that says that my persons, papers, houses, and effects are guaranteed to be private. except based on probable cause issued under oath or affirmation. If you ain't got somebody swearing that I hurt them or that the law was broken, the Constitution literally guarantees my person, my papers, which is the stuff that I write, my house, the place that I live, and my effects, the stuff that I deal with. The stuff that I deal with, the house that I live in, the things that I own, the things that I write, my personal communications, and my physical body are in the private and separate and far away from you and guaranteed to be protected. And you don't argue your privacy. You don't show them where it's written. What you might do is you might say, the Constitution protects my privacy. Show them. Quote it. Book, chapter, verse. This is tantamount. This is akin to Christians today saying, well, the Bible says, we can't do that. The Bible says, judge not. Well, the Bible does say, judge not. But continue the passage. What was Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 7 whenever he's saying that? What is Jesus teaching? See, if you don't have a heart for the Lord and you don't actually know what he says, you are going to err. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. They do err because they don't follow the commandments. They follow man's doctrines as though they are God's commandments. So you got a bunch of people who don't read the Bible, who don't do what God says, but say, oh, this is what God says, or this is what the Bible says, and it's not. And that's how they mess up. They mess up because they don't slow down to understand what's actually written. They don't slow down to stick their fingers in the nose of the freaking alligator. The alligator's chomping her leg. That young girl had the wherewithal to recognize beating it on the head isn't working while I'm getting attacked. My life is on the line. Let me use wisdom. This is because we have a system where our patriots and the leaders are telling us the Constitution doesn't matter. Judge Napolitano, that dude is supposed to be known and was known on Fox because I'm a libertarian and I support liberty. The dude only says Constitution. He never just shows you. He never shows you what the Constitution say. He'll never tell you what these Constitutions say. Why? Why don't people tell you what the text says? Why don't they actually bring up this is what the law says? Why don't they do this? Why is this hard? Why is this hard? I don't understand. I don't understand why this is so difficult. We've been programmed to not read. We've been programmed to be vague. We've been programmed to launch our opinions instead of standing on the truth. That little girl did not want her leg bitten. It was wrong for the animal to bite her leg. The animal didn't think it was wrong. So how did she say the animal was wrong? Boop. Here you go. Boop. I'm going to take away your ability to do stuff. I'm going to take away your ability to breathe. You, alligator, are focused on attacking me, chomping my leg. You have your objective, and you have your methodology. The government has its objective to destroy the country, right? There's people in government whose objective is to destroy the country, and they have their methodology. Greed, graft, corruption, otherwise subterfuge, mass media censorship, throwing dust up in the air, creating anger, getting people who care about the country spinning off on stupid talking points, such as the Supreme Court of the United States did not believe that the issue of election integrity was worth the court's time during another crucial presidential race. That's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. What happened is that your dumb attorneys are arguing fraud, which is a crime, instead of maladministration, which is the form of law. Y'all didn't follow the Constitution. Y'all didn't argue the Constitution. You argued what got attorneys billable hours and what attorneys were taught in law school. Let me teach you. This is John Locke's Two Treaties of Government, Section 216. John Locke is a forefather of American law. He was one of the most influential people regarding our founders' understanding of the constitutions and of government. He writes in Section 216, Book 2, Section 216. Thirdly, when by arbitrary power of the prince, so whenever the government, right here, remember John Locke is writing before the popular sovereignty, so before America, in America, people are the sovereigns. So before people were the sovereigns, you had the king, you had the crown, you had the princes, you had the government therein, right? So whenever he's talking about the prince, he's talking about people in government, right? So the arbitrary power of the prince, arbitrary is without a standard. The standard is self-inherent. So you can make up your own things. You have no rule. You're not accountable to any standard. So whenever people in government do something on their own whim, the electors or ways of elections are altered without the consent. Now think about this. He's saying when people in government change the way of elections, when they change the way that people get into government and they do so arbitrarily, when it is arbitrarily changed for people to get into government without the consent and contrary to the common interest of the people, is it in the common interest of the people to have cheat machines connected to the internet, ballot mules, trafficking for money, multiple fraudulent ballots that aren't registered, that aren't, you know, efficacious, that are unlawful? Is it for the common interest of the people to have Democrat operatives operate clandestine or in the shadow of the night, away from media exposure, away from public scrutiny, the ability to repeatedly feed in ballots or to change the differences between the number of people that came into the voting precinct and the number of people who voted? Can any of this happen? No. There is also the legislative is altered, which means the result of the election. So if you vote and you get people in government, the people in government that are there, if they got there because the ways of elections were altered, then that means the people in government are not there legitimately. For if others than those whom the society hath authorized thereunto do choose, or in another way that the society hath prescribed, the chosen are not the legislative appointed by the people. This is saying if you change the way elections are administered, everything that results thereafter is not authorized. It's wrong. It's not the law. Let me show another one. This is John Locke, same book, section 220. In these and the like cases, when the government is dissolved, so the government can dissolve. How does the government dissolve? When it doesn't follow the law. When you have a constitution, when you have a constitution that says this, right? Whenever you've got this type of stuff that says the government is instituted for the benefit, protection, security of the whole people, private interest, not emolument, all these things. When you've got this going on, but you've got these things here, if the government does not do as the law says, the government is dissolved. Then it says up at the top, the people are at liberty to provide for themselves by erecting a new legislative differing from the other by the change of persons or form or both as they shall find it most for their safety and good. For the society can never, by the fault of another, lose the native and original right it has to preserve itself, which can only be done by a settled legislative and a fair and impartial execution of the laws made by it. But the state of mankind is not so miserable that they are not capable of using this remedy till it be too late to look for any. You don't have to wait till things get so bad to take action. The problem is, we aren't taught by our patriot leaders what the laws say. No one is no one, because people like me, people like Dave, people like Chris Noyes, Riley Flack, and the such, people are showing people what the Constitution say. The problem is people don't read, people don't believe, people don't have the courage, and people don't have the wisdom. They don't have the wisdom to shove their fingers up the nose of the alligator because they don't think it'll work. Because it's never been taught to them. And if it's taught to them, we have so many doomsplainers and blackpillers that are like, that never works. Your stupid magic affidavits, those don't work. But it's the law. It's the law. Now, I explained a couple days ago, I spoke about the fear. The fear of the law. See, if you believe that God, I mean, Jesus teaches, don't fear those that can just destroy your body and not your soul. Fear the one who can both destroy your body and your soul in fire. Fear God because he's in charge. And when you fear God more than anything else, nothing affects you. Not that it doesn't influence you, but it's not going to make you more afraid of God. You mean to tell me a 50-year prison sentence or stage 4 cancer or an alligator chomping my leg is going to be more hazardous and dangerous and fear-inducing than the wrath of God for eternity in hellfire? You got another thing coming, bro. I don't fear like you. I fear the way the Bible teaches. And when you have that fear of the Lord, you are now his servant. You are now his soldier. You now fight for him, and he will bless what you give him. When you fight for him, the way that he tells you to fight, the way that he tells you to do things, he will bless that because that's what he says he will do. Not because you make it happen, but because your obedience is what God wants. And then he will use that obedience so that he can continue to get the glory. He can continue to get the glory he wants, and he can continue to do things the way that he wants to, because that's how he wants to do it. Now you take that situation where there is a God Almighty who has given us exactly what we are to do, exactly what he says, and then we are supposed to obey. And then he rewards us. And if we don't, he smashes us. You take that situation and you apply it to government, in which you've got creators of government, the people. The people create government. We wrote down what government is, called constitutions. And when the government doesn't do what it's supposed to do, you punish it. Now, this is where people without wisdom will say, well, how do you enforce it? How do you enforce it? Because they've only been programmed to use guns. They've only been programmed to go up and rouse up and get the militia. Our forefathers fought a war. They did fight a war after they understood what the law said. I got here a video where a guy says the Declaration of Independence says we can throw off our government. Watch this. We'll comment after.
So inside the Declaration of Independence, it states that if your government is basically not doing its job, it's not protecting you, it's putting your lives at risk, okay? And they're no longer working for you. Everything that's happening right now, it states that we the people have a legal obligation to overthrow the government, okay? And there's a very small amount of you who support what these fucking politicians are doing right now, okay? But the truth is, you are no longer driving the vehicle. The government is driving the vehicle for you. You're not even in the passenger seat. You're tied up in the fucking trunk.
Now, I should have given you a language warning. I apologize. And we do know that if you saw the stamp of who it was from, Urine Samples is probably an authoritative account. But the issue here is that this guy is obviously mad about government not doing what's supposed to. But he says you have a duty to overthrow the government. Let's hone in on this and let's use some precision. The Declaration of Independence speaks to the authority of the Almighty, speaks to the Creator, speaks to his providence, calls him a judge, speaks to who God of Scripture is, speaks to the authority of man and the fact that we cannot enter into anything where we can hurt each other. And then it literally says, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And it lists them out. Boom, 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 boom. Which means the facts that were listed in the Declaration of Independence were coming from the observations of the law not being followed, which means the law was understood in order to understand the differential between obedience to the law and violation of the law. So no, the Declaration of Independence doesn't say that you have a duty to overthrow the government. Says you have a duty to throw off that tyranny because of the authority, God, who gives you your rights. This is what the Bible teaches. Your duty is to obey God and not man. But this is the difference, because the founders who won our independence through the Revolutionary War, they gave us a government in which we are the ones in control. Why would the king want to overthrow the kingdom? Why would the one in power want to overthrow what he has the power over? This is the difference of paradigm that we aren't taught. We are taught instead by the patriots and the leaders. This is a hijacked government. This is a corporation. It's a corporation that's controlling everything. Stupid morons. And just like Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Don't work to get what you want. Stop from your own wisdom. Stop it. Stop thinking what you do is right. Verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? You're going to set your eyes on wanting something that doesn't even exist. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. If your objective is to always get your political ambition, to always have what you want, you are not working for the Lord. You are chasing riches that will sprout wings and fly away. You are not doing what God says to do, whether that's working for material wealth and earthly riches, or here, you're trying to get your political agenda imposed so that you can be comfortable. Think about that. What if you are the dog that caught the car? What if right now you got literally everything you wanted for politically? What would you do? How would you think about the world? What if instead of chasing after political objectives, you just serve Jesus? And everything that you know, your wisdom is his knowledge, the things that you have are for his glory. If you do it like that, maybe you might actually believe the written text of the Constitution's to stand in courage against government and say, hey, listen, this is what the Constitution says. Every single one of you guys swore to it. And, you imprison me, kill me, cut my head off, give me cancer, do whatever. That's fine. I'm going to go to heaven. But this is the truth. And just by doing that is poking the alligator in the nostrils. The alligators aren't used to that. Now, do you think that alligator, well, that alligator got killed, but do you think that alligator, had he gone back to the alligator hut, had he gone back to the local conference of alligator association, the rising up patriot alligators, hey guys, this 10-year-old girl shoved her fingers in my nose. What? No. He would probably be embarrassed. The alligator would probably not go back and tell his buddies, hey guys, that girl just shoved her fingers up my nose. That alligator would probably be too humiliated to tell his other alligator friends that the little girl bested him by shoving her fingers up its nose. He would shut up, and he would try next time to not have fingers shoved up his nose. Why? Because his pride is too great in the alligator community to tell other people how he got bested by a girl with fingers up his nose. Instead, he would probably try to go scheme and figure out, how can I chomp the legs? How can I chomp people and not have their fingers up their nose? In the meantime, the little girl who bested the alligator, she told everybody. She told everybody, I stuck my fingers in the alligator's nose. The alligator let go. How many Floridians do you think are enjoying the beach just walking around like this, looking like Richard Nixon? Bunch of Richard Nixons on the beach. How do you protect yourself from alligators? You do the Richard Nixon. You jab your fingers in their nostrils and they will declamp. Think about that. The girl knew how to best the alligator, not by beating its brains in, but by using wisdom to defeat the thing the alligator required, which was the breath of life. Preventing him from breathing, unlocked his jaw, got her free, and she ran away. And she told everybody. I'm telling everybody. Just like the woman at the well. Jesus met the woman at the well in the heat of the day, who had been through multiple men, an adulteress, an outcast of her own society, and a Samaritan, so not a Jew. And he says, soon, all you will have to do is worship in spirit and in truth. And she believed him. And she told everybody. The Messiah came to her, told her her problems, and told her the one solution, which was him. you got a lot of problems. You're messed up. Your history is bad. Your ethnic is bad. Your own decisions are bad. You are in a horrible position. But I don't condemn you because I'm here to save you. And her believing told everybody. That's how stuff works. That's God's wisdom. Now, there's people going to hear this and be like, well, that's dumb because they got the guns and the bombs and the bullets and the planes and the agents and they'll put the black bag over your head. You think God isn't in charge? You think those J6ers who are in jail, or you think Trump that's getting destroyed by his cases right now? None of these people are using the wisdom of what the Constitution say. That's not an insult. I'm trying to show the fact that we have been programmed into privation. We have been programmed to train, or we have been trained to trust people who are not saying what the truth is. And because we don't say what the truth is and we don't know what the truth is, we get destroyed. And we're spinning our tires. And many of these champions are being elevated and given platforms and podcasts and microphones and book sales to continue to train people to trust them. I'll go fight for you. When the solution is Richard Nixon, the freaking alligator. Folks, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is that Jesus came to earth, virgin born, lived a sinless and perfect life. When he took that Roman cross out of obedience, he did so as the only atonement for our sins. His precious blood was shed. That was a torturous, horrible, horrible situation. He died on that cross. He was buried in the grave. They rolled the rock. They sealed it up. They even put a guard. But 3 days later, that grave was busted up. Out. Said it weird. That grave was opened. He walked out physically. The death, the burial, the resurrection. And the reason why that's important is that whenever Jesus died for your sin, that was God punishing Jesus in your place. Instead of punishing me, instead of punishing you, he punished Jesus. Jesus then died, proves that sin is dead with him. And then whenever he physically raises from the grave, it shows that he's got the power over death. Shows that he's God, proves that everything he said was true. Now, if you don't believe that, that's on you. If you do believe that, there is now a call. There's an invitation. The invitation is that you repent of your sin and are baptized for the remission of your sins. You turn away from the life you've lived. Regardless of how evil and horrible it is, you turn away from that and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in his authority, for the remission of your sins. The reason why that's important is because that's how the king said to do it. That's what he said to do. And there's a lot of people that load up doctrine and outside thinking, but the Bible very clearly says in Acts chapter 2 and 37, when the Jews said, when they heard the gospel message, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. Men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Baptism is essential for salvation because it's how you call out to the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. There's people that don't believe that. There's people that argue with that and they say that it's a work. No, it's a work of the Lord, Colossians 2 and verse 12. They'll say, well, it's only faith alone. Well, okay, John 6 and verse 29 says that faith is a work of God. People can't show where baptism is a work. They call it a work, but they can't show that. And people will believe, well, I don't have to do anything. Well, what does the Bible say do? Because if you go further in Acts chapter 2, and if you go to verse 40, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, he says, and with many other words did he, Peter, testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. If you do not do that, you are not going to be saved. How do you do that? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, which means his authority, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the gospel, friends. Obey the gospel. Friends, one of the best ways to bless me in the ministry that I do, if this is entertaining, educational, enlightening, inspiring, or just, you know, entertaining, you can go to patriotswitch.com/Jaren and take the money you're already using to spend. You're already spending money. If you're not spending money, this isn't for you. if you're buying products at a brick and mortar or online and it's for your home, so it's deodorant, it's makeup, it's detergent, it's vitamins, it's proteins, it's little snack bars, if it's any of these things, there's an opportunity to bless me and continue the work that I do here by going to patriotswitch.com/Jaren. Take your money out of the godless commies, this corporate oligarchy we got going on. Take your money out of that. It's a very simple decision, very easy decision, no hassles, no strings attached. Someone like me will call you and will say, here's what Jaren was talking about. Here's where it is. I'll show you where everything's at. If you don't want to do it, no harm, no foul. Thank you for considering. Whenever you shop, that's when I get a benefit, and it's a blessing to me and my family. God bless you, Lord willing. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, my name is Jaren Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit. Go to war.